Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. And I wish you would follow along with me as I read the last five verses in the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Here we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is making his final point of his sermon here. It is a very sober close. Its purpose is to grip the hearts of all who heard him, especially those in the kingdom of heaven, and all who later on will become citizens of the kingdom. All of his powerful teaching now rests upon each individual. At this point, Jesus is telling his hearers to consider themselves, look at themselves, think about their purpose of listening to him and their desire to follow him. Jesus wants them to think more about themselves now. He has given his words to them. He's laid out all kinds of analogies for them. He's shown them the truth. He's drawn them aside from thinking about the scribes and the Pharisees, and he pointed their attention to himself. And so he says, now, I want you, as you've been looking to me and everything that I had to say, now I want you to think about yourself. The points of this sermon takes us from conversion to heaven. In Matthew 5, it really says that particular thing, how we came into the kingdom. Jesus now closes with being in heaven. It takes us from conversion to heaven, and Jesus is saying, now make sure you are not self-deceived. Thinking you are something, thinking you are safe and or on the road to heaven, and yet you may not be there. He drives the entire sermon home to the hearts of his listeners, saying, take a good look at yourself. And brethren, he's saying the same thing to us. I believe this sermon and these final words are as searching and powerful to us today as it was to those who were under the very sound of the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though we read it, and though you have a man preaching to you in a man's voice, I pray God would help us to hear the voice of Christ in everything that we would look at this morning. It's a sober truth Christ Jesus has for us here. And I want you to keep in mind that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying mostly what he said in the beginning of this very sermon. He is concerned about those who are in the kingdom. He is not saying this and slinging it out there for anybody to look at it and try to consider it. He's speaking to you and me this morning. Consider what the Lord has to say. Now, as we look at that, I pray the Holy Spirit would help me as I open up these texts to us. And the thing about this is not a portion of Scripture which is strange to you. Most of you may be able to even quote most of what Jesus says here. But the question would be for each and every one of us, do we have the meaning of what Christ is saying? And are we living to the very point that Christ have us to live for right now? And remember, I try to tell you all along the way, this sermon is not disconnected ideas in some kind of way just patched together without any meaning. It's all running together, and Jesus is showing that. And even at the end of this sermon, we can see how it runs together. Look at verse 24. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock." He says, "Therefore." And all of you understand, when you see something that start the verse with "therefore," it is pointing back. There is a connection to something else, what he just said. And what did he just say? Well, we have 21 to 23, and what did Jesus says there? He was taught us in those verses that a mere confession will not get a person into heaven. Just to say you're following Christ and I'm doing this and doing that, he says that will not get you into heaven. Those who will enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Those who do his will, not saying this or that about yourself. And so Jesus says that as he finishes that and makes it clear, these are the only ones who are going to go into heaven. He says then, "Therefore." And then he gives us these words. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock." And then he says, in the rains and falls and all that. But notice what he goes on. And he says in verse 26, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon sand." Jesus is looking here and it says one or two things are going to happen. And remember again to people, Jesus is not talking about the people walking out in the street. Jesus is talking about those who came, claim to be, and are brought close to the kingdom of God and walking with him. The section itself is saying that you who say you are a Christian, you need to look at this and understand what is going on. What is going on? What is Christ saying here to us this morning? Well, I believe he's saying to us, look at yourself. Be earnest and serious. You must look at ourselves. He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them," meaning everyone who listens to Jesus and does what he says, put his words into action in their lives, believes his word, and live according to his word. All that he said in this sermon he's speaking to now, you must follow everything he said here. And he says this is what each and every one of us have to do. This is what we must do. Not just say, "Whoa, the Sermon on the Mount, what a wonderful sermon that is. I've heard these things about it, you know, I'll think about it." But no, he says, do them. Right from the beginning to the end, Jesus is saying this now. Because he brings it to a close. These words of mine, hearing these words of mine, hearing these words. The entire sermon now comes as one that you and I must look back at. All his instructions from the beginning. How we are different from those who are in the Old Testament part. He's speaking to them. Remember now, under all the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees, listening to them and tell them how they must live. And Jesus, he's the one who's come now, and he's saying, now, no, that is not what you're going to do. You have heard it said, but I say to you. And he says here, everyone who hears my words, Jesus is saying that there will be a reaction to his sermon. There's going to be a reaction. One or the other, you're going to hear and follow, or you're going to hear and cast it aside. Some, he says, will hear his sermon, and some will hear those words, and they will act upon those words. And Jesus calls that one a wise man or a wise woman. So other ones will listen to it, and they will walk away, and they will do nothing whatsoever. And he will say, that's a foolish man. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying in a sense that the foolish man has never been converted. I think Jesus is saying any one of us at any time can act like the foolish man "Oh, foolish woman, hearing Christ's words and what he has to say and yet doing nothing with it." That's what Christ is concerned with. He gives a parable and he says, this is the thing we need to see, that everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man. And what does a wise man do? He who built his house on a rock. Now, you know what he's saying there. He's looking at it. He says, there is something that is done for the wise man. He builds his house on a rock. First of all, he looks at it, and he's being concerned about how he's going to build a rock. His house, excuse me. Luke, as he records this very aspect, he says, who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. See, the wise man, he's concerned about what he's doing. He's doing it and he has some sense of what he's going to do. He will labor to do the right way to build his house. He will take time to make sure everything is laid out properly. He uses principles of building to do it. He just doesn't go out and stick a stick in the ground and just go on and try to build something. He knows something has to be done if this house is going to stand. And it must be done right. He possesses ingenuity to do it the right way, to do what he needs to do in order that that house would stand. Now, the wise man knows that the temperatures are different and all kinds of season comes. And the reason why he's building his house, because he would have something to live in. And he has something that he would be in there forever, not thinking the first little wind blows, it's going to come and then the house is going to go falling down. No, his wisdom causes him to build a house that would stand. And that would stand on a good foundation, that no matter what comes, his family and him will be safe in that house. And you know, that's the very thing that he's looking for. So the parable, first of all, tells us he is a wise man. And here's what the wise man does. What is the wise man concerned about? Putting all what he has in the work of doing what he can for the structure of that house. But he also tells us that there's another. There's a man who does not do that. And he is compared to a foolish man. He's not taking the ingenuity. He's not looking at the principles and the labor, putting forth the labor that it needs to be done. In Luke, again, in 6th chapter, verse 49, says, who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And so there's nothing. What's going to hold up the house? There's some things you can even build today. You know, it doesn't call for a big foundation. You have sheds in your yard, you know, and you really basically just lay those on a platform. They're not down into on a foundation. I had one over here. And then when that last hurricane came, you know, it was on the other side of the fence. And that's what Jesus is saying. This man doesn't care. He does not take the time that needs to be taken in order to build it. The foolish doesn't think through things. He doesn't take the time to plan. He acts on impulse. Immediately, he gotta have what he wants. Greed. And all that. He doesn't look at it. He wants gratification. I just want what I want right now. He is governed by feelings and desires. How I feel today. And so therefore, he's saying, and I believe Jesus said it, whatever he feels about the word is what he does. He doesn't think through it. He doesn't find himself trying his best to understand what the word of God is saying to him. In this parable, it says, and Jesus says, there's two kinds of results, too, from those in the way we listen to God's word. And he's using this very metaphor, and some call it a parable. The wise man's house, it stood firm. The foolish man's house, it fell. And then Jesus can say, and if we take him, great was that fall. Now, here's the idea. You know, there's not a whole lot that we need to go through. I didn't have to go through and I looked at some of the words. What is this in the Greek? So that's not even necessary. This is so plain and on the scriptures, even a child can read it. An unconverted person can take this up and read it and say, I understand what Christ is saying there. So it's not a deep thing. But what is the teaching? That's the point. That's the question. What is Christ teaching? Jesus is telling all who are in the kingdom to listen to him. Now, you and I would say, well, God, Jesus Christ, that's what we want to do. We do that always, and we come and we want to hear from you. But the question is, are we doing it the way Christ is telling us in this very end of his sermon? He's telling us to listen to him. All he has told them in every important issue that he brought up for life and for the kingdom living and how to be right with God from chapter 5 to the end right now, he's saying, listen to what I said. And you say, well, you know, okay, we listened. And some of you will say, and we will say, and in some cases I will say too, I even listened to Jesus as I was going through the sermon. I even listened to what he has to say. But did I listen to the degree that it is put into action? That's what he says. He says, hear, basically, hear my words. Hearing who Jesus has here is not just letting it go through the ear. Remember how one could say, all who have ears to hear, let them hear. And sometimes we got these instruments on the sides of our head, but they are not really taking into all the hearing that has to be done. We hear with our heart and with our conscience and deep in our minds what we ought to do. And Jesus calls that hearing and acting upon his word. Put his words in your heart and live by it, is what he's saying. This was very important because what Jesus taught them was different from the scribes and Pharisees. They're going to have something really new and something they hadn't heard before. And this is what it is. And the end of the chapter says that. They were amazed when he finished speaking because they said, he teach like no other. They never heard stuff like that before. So Jesus said, now, as you heard that, what are you going to do with it? Jesus was teaching them at the end of his sermon that they must apply his word to their lives in order to be prepared for the evil that would come about them. The evil in this world is going to come, and it's going to attack them, it's going to break upon them, it's going to beat at them. It's going to try to destroy them. And the only way they're going to stand is to act upon Jesus' word. And he gives us that imagery. And what did he do? They're building a house. And brethren, as we look at that, we can say, well, Jesus is telling us right here now is that you and I, we're going to be building something. When every time we open up Jesus' word or we hear his word, we're building. We're doing something. Are we just listening to it and let it just come in and go right out, walk away, that was good, and that's it? No, we have to do more than that. And here's what I believe, the principle as we see here, he's telling them then at that particular time, he was teaching them that this is what they must do. His words must be heard, and they must apply his words to their lives in order to be protected from all the evil in the world and everything that's around them, and to gain eternal life. And so Jesus don't say, okay, you're in, don't worry about a thing. No, he said, you're going to need to work. You're going to need to work throughout your entire life. Here's the principle. Now, well, we have the same thing today. And though we are not there sitting, or was not sitting under the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has inscribed his word for us. The Holy Spirit has given to us the very things he spoke at that time. And he is speaking these things to you and me right now. And he's saying to you and me, this is just as powerful to you and I as it were to them. It is a sober truth in the word of Jesus, which each and every one of us must take to heart. A person cannot be attached to the church, be attached to the church for the greater part of their lives, his or her life, and be doomed to hell in the end. And that's a frightening thing, isn't it? That's frightening. Many people are flocking to churches today. They're going there and they're saying that they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and they live for Him. They live for everything that He is and they know who He is. And, but basically what they're going to do is they go to church and then they come out of church. And what they do for the rest of the day, the rest of the week, Christ is nowhere in anything that they do. But they say, I'm going to heaven anyhow. And Jesus is telling here, there will be some who will think like that. There are some who will live like that. And that's why in verses 21 to 23, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. You see, it has to move from the saying to the doing. And the doing, brethren, you understand, is not doing to get saved, but a doing which proves you are saved. And that's what Christ is saying here. And now he's saying this is the very thing that you have to do. And so as we look at this, you and I must think about it, and we must think seriously about it, that where am I going to be when the final call comes? And I think we have to think that way. I believe all thought that way. Even the righteous man thought that way. Paul even thought that way. I believe I mentioned it last Lord's Day. He said, after I, you know, me, myself, what did I do? I work hard. I do all I can to keep this body and this sin down. Why? Because I'm interested in getting into heaven. And he says, what do I do? He said, I don't want to be after I preach to others. I myself be a castaway. Now, did Paul doubt his Christianity? Did he doubt what Christ did for him and the way he did it, this man and who he was and how he lived and how he brought all the horrible things against the church? Paul didn't doubt none of that. Paul says, the Christ that I live through Christ who is in me, who loved me and gave himself for me. But what did he say? I work still. I work as if come the day of judgment, I will go miss heaven and wind up in hell. And brethren, he's saying that because he knew that's what each man, woman, boy, or girl who knows Christ has to do. We are not going to float into heaven on a bed of ease. We're going to go to heaven scratching and pinching and hemming and kicking at sins and at this flesh and everything, all the evil around us. It's going to be a continual fight till we get there. We're not going to lay down and get into heaven. So Jesus is saying, this is the very thing he says there. From what Jesus says, my words, and if you go back into all in this very sermon, there's a lot of things Jesus said we have to do. How are we going to treat one another? How are we going to deal with law? How are we going to deal with God's word? How are we going to find ourselves even as we mix in the world with other people? How are we going to live before God himself and our own prayer life and all? How are we going to do it? All that is what Jesus is saying. And all this comes to each and every one. So Jesus says here, act upon my words. And he's saying here, this is the very thing we need to do. Jesus is saying, it all depends on how we hear his word. And he uses the whole idea of the foundation. You're going to be building. And as you listen to God's word, even if it's in preaching or if it's in your own reading and you look over that and you go back and back again to it, you know, is how are you listening to what Christ is saying? Because in the scriptures, Christ is speaking to us. You don't just have some stories in the Bible. You don't have parts in the Bible who just fit into the category of, you know, what Christ was doing. This is real. Christ himself is speaking. And he says, this is what you and I need to look at and see and understand. It is real. It is what he is saying. Even in the Old Testament, it says that the foundation was built and Jesus Christ would be that foundation. Notice how Ezekiel speaks in the realm of the idea we have here. You need not turn there. And what he's saying to how, what's going to be done and what needs to be, what will be done. He says, God says to his Ezekiel the prophet in chapter 33, beginning at 31, They come to you as people come and sit before you as my people. Here's Ezekiel. He's preaching. What are the people doing when he preaches? They come to you as people come. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. Behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. What are we today, dear people? Are we those that we listen to the words and, oh, it sounds so good. It's sweet. Listen what Christ says there. We hear them, like the way we sound, and that's it. When we have and do Christ's word, we are building a spiritual foundation that will support us in our Christian life and safely support us all the way to heaven. In Proverbs 24, the writer says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Meaning like this, it's firm and it stands and it stays there. And the wisdom that we get is that kind of wisdom that we get from God himself. And so here, God is saying to us, and Christ is saying to us, this is what we have to do. In Isaiah 28 and 16, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone, for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. And here the whole idea throughout the scriptures is that there is a building and a foundation must be laid. And this is what Jesus is telling us even today. What should you and I do? How should we react? What should we act and do to the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus says, hear my word. He's saying, act upon them and do my word. How do we do what Jesus is saying? We submit to Jesus in all that he teaches in his word. What he said in the gospel, and what he teaches through his apostles in the epistles, is his word. And he says we must do all of it. We must hear all of it. You and I must listen to his word. And I say again, how do we hear that word? Well, we were in Sunday school talking this morning. It's how, you know, another, I call it the granddaddy cult of all, and how it has goes, how people so mesmerized on what they think is truth in the word of God. And we said that some of the reasons why some are, you know, pushed aside because they don't get into the Bible and read it. Brethren, we can't be those who decide to read the Bible when we feel like reading it once or twice a week or something like that. You're not going to hear Christ's word that way. You're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear it. You know, it's 5 minutes in the Bible. That's not it. We have to be those who are truly made up in our minds that we are going on the way to heaven. And all the way to heaven, there's a fight all the way. And that fight is not only outside there, those who are kind of come against us, but it's in here also. Paul teaches us that there's remaining sin in us. And that sin will try its best to cause us to live according to the flesh. Everything the flesh wants. All the fun and folly of the world. That's what the flesh wants. Brother, we still got it. We have not been made angels. We got a wicked thing that still remains in us. And besides that, we have a devil who is trying his best to destroy us. To take away where we have no faith whatsoever as far as to can stand before anybody and tell them this is what Christianity is. And they look at us and say, you want me to follow what you follow? The way you are living? We have to be those who will live in such a way and that even all who see us will understand it and know it. So Christ tells us, even here in this sermon, but he tells us in throughout the whole scriptures, the New Testament, what he must do. Remember when he looked at his disciples and he came and he called them. What did he say? Follow me. Now, Jesus just didn't mean pick up the place where you're going to do it, and as I move, you move right behind me, close, don't turn to the left or right. No, follow me, who I am, and all I'm about to teach you, you live with that. Be like me. Love the Father, serve the Father, give your life to the Father. And that's why he could say in Antioch, the brethren was first called Christians. You know what? Little Christ. Christ-like. They looked just like him. They started to live and everything was just like him. Jesus says, follow me. That's what he said. He said it to Matthew. He said it to the other disciples. Follow me. The word to us today is take up your cross and follow me. Not take up your... what, nice little flowers? You live a nice life now? You're a Christian? Oh boy, it's going to be nice. Everything will be great, you know? So it's a real wonderful life. Take up your cross. Take up your emblem of death and follow me. That's what it is. And that's not easy stuff, dear people. That means in some cases, like some say, we're going to be dying daily. We're going to be putting to death things that come and try to cause us to live in a different way. We're going to find some of the things we might want to say. You know, we're going to have to put it to death. Because what it will do is cause all kinds of problems to those who are close to us. We're going to find ourselves looking at what Christ says, what we must do. Read back over this very sermon itself and look at it and say to yourself, am I doing what Christ says here? Am I doing these things? Have I put these things into action? Or did I just read them and let them pass on by? Pastor preached on them and I heard them and I said, wow, they were really good. But am I doing any of them? This is what he's saying. Follow me. John 14 and 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. If you love Christ, you keep the word. And brethren, keep the word. There's not put it in some kind of chest someplace so it'll be safe. That means guarding the word of God. Guarding it in our own lives, doing what we can. So people, when they see something about a Christian, they can say, yes, here it is. This man, this woman, this girl or boy is a very emblem of what Christianity is because I can see the words that Christ said to his people in the scriptures being lived out in that person's life. Guard my word, he said it. We are told how to live, dear people. We're told what we must do and how we must live. And even in reading in this morning as we went through the book of Ephesians and in chapter 5, you notice what the Apostle Paul is telling them there and what we must do. He says, here is how you find yourself as Christ. He says in verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Wow. That's a tall order, isn't it? Now, you know, it'd probably be something if Paul just threw that out there and he said that, and you and I have to scratch our heads and say, how do we be imitators of God? We go through the whole idea of saying, "What? I don't even know what God looks like. God is a spirit." No, but Paul, he helps us out, doesn't he? And he says a couple of things through here, and I'll just, he says, walk in love. And that's something that you and I are going to have, and we'll do that. He says, walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice of God as a fragrant sacrifice, as a fragrant aroma. Walk in love. That's what we do with one another. You know what? When we're getting along with one another, when we're doing what we can for one another, we are doing or keeping or acting upon Christ's word. And he goes down, walk as children of the light. And he goes on, walk as the wise. And he goes on through this and he says many things that we should do. Walk in the newness of life in another text. Walk by faith. Walk in the Spirit. Walk worthy of your calling. Walking is your daily life, brethren. That's what we do. Here, Paul is not saying in these, as Christ given to you now, you mark on a card someplace, I need to do this, need to do that. He says, no, do it. Daily do it. Walk in it. Let it be seen. Walk circumspectly. Walk in the light. Walk like Christ. Walk in truth. All these things he's telling. This is the way you and I must do. Godly living is the thing that we have here throughout the scriptures. And there's so many verses, dear people, we can go to. But I think I'll give you that, which even will cause you and my very hearts and minds to come up and say, this is what we should do. And Paul says, here's what we ought to do. What is real religion before a dying world? Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. People out there presenting their bodies before the devil. Presenting their bodies for everything they like to do and everything they want to do. All the pleasure they want. They have all these dreams and hopes and everything. And Jesus, through Paul, says, no, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. The question is, have we done that? Have we really come to the point where we can say, you know what? This is no longer mine. I don't do with this what I want to do. I don't satisfy this with the things that I think will be satisfying. No, it is Christ. Christ died for it. He paid for it. It belongs to him. How can we say that? We must be able to say that. We must grow to where we can say that if we're not there yet. And the only way we're going to do it was Christ says, hear my word and act upon him. So when we go to the scriptures, we don't read just to say that we read, I'm reading through the book of whatever that may be, Samuel or Galatians or whatever. In a week I finished the book of Jesus. What did you get out of the book? That's the point. God is speaking through us from his word. What did we get out of it? Are we doing anything? Are we living differently? The whole idea. And Christ is saying here, very serious. Brethren, we are building a spiritual house. We should look at it that way. Are we building on a rock? On good, solid bedrock? Which would be the word of God itself, and foundation is Christ himself. Are we building on that? Or are we building on some thoughts and some ideas? How are we building? Are we using the Bible, that blueprint of scripture, to form us? And as it were, if we take the imagery, every piece of timber we put up for this house, is it solidly planted in the word of God? Every piece of siding we put out, does it come from another section of the word of God? When we get inside and we put all the things on the floor, is it all from the word of God? Or are we bringing worldly stuff in this house that we're trying to build? Is every part of our house being built by the word of God? Brethren, this is really what Christ is saying when he comes down to the end here. He's saying now, I gave this first sermon, this sermon, and now, this is now pointed to you. And some people might wonder why, basically, why preachers preach the way they preach? They come out, they may have these points and so, this and that, and they go right down the line, and then they have an application. You know what? Christ preached that way. If you look at chapters 5 to 7, you can see a nice, and I could call it a nice 3-point sermon. The first part is salvation, faith. You got saved. You got changed. And that could be the change of the life from a wicked sinner to a child of God to a one in the kingdom. The second, chapter 6, would be the Christian's very life before the world. And how he lives in the world and before God. The seventh chapter can be his life in a church, how he treats and get along with one another, and in the church as he going to heaven. And then the points on the way, there was some application along the way. We know that Christ gave it to him, but he ends up with this last application. And he says to you and I, dear people, hear his word and act upon it. Now, brethren, that takes us to have ourselves to say, if we haven't said it no longer, well, I'm going to look at Christ's word and just say, for me to read it is enough. We can't say that. We can't do that. I'm going to do what Christ is saying for me to do. I was made glad this morning. Somebody said to me, he said, you know what? I made up my mind. I should say just like it just happened. That what we've been looking at in the Sermon on the Mount, I'm going to put it in practice. I didn't ask him anything. This is what he said. And that's what you come to in our hearts, dear people. We have to say, I'm putting it in practice. Go to every part of it, you know. I was talking to a brother, and I said, somebody said something about somebody did something to him. I said, well, you know what that means? Don't retaliate. They say, but turn the other cheek. Can you do that? You don't have to retaliate. Christ is saying, this is what we don't retaliate. Our biggest problems we have is that somebody do something wrong to us, and we got to get back at them. No, don't. Forgive. Love Christ. And this is what we need to do, dear people. This is Christ is saying. And then in verse 28 and 29, you notice the people, as they were listening to this, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Ask yourself, when was the last time you've been amazed at Christ's teaching when you read through the scriptures? Last time you were amazed. And he stopped. You put your Bible down and you say, wow. Or have you just read through it? I finished my reading, close the Bible, and that's it. These people, they were amazed. And they said, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. And I believe not only was the fact that they were how he was teaching, it was what they were he was teaching also. Dear people, this is what we have, and this is what Christ is saying to us. At the end of this sermon, he's saying now, do it. And the reason why he's saying it, because there is the danger of being self-deceived. That's the danger. And I say to you, dear people, don't put all your bets on when you die, you're going to go to heaven because I've done this. He said, don't be self-deceived. You need to know it now. And the way we're going to know it is how we are following the instructions of Christ and living according to the word of Christ. You who are outside of Christ today, you who are unsaved, you know something? You don't really fit into this, and Christ wasn't preaching this for you, but you're going to meet judgment day, just like those who he was saying right here. There's a day coming, and it's a real day. And in that day, you're going to have to face Jesus Christ, and you're going to have to face him with every thought that you harbor in your heart with him right now. But you can't do anything about that. We harbored the same thoughts, or some like it, before. Christ changed us. We're praying that Christ would change you. That's the only way it's going to happen. We don't want to make you religious. Please, please, please. You know what? There was a young man years ago, when I was, before I came into Reformed Truth, and I had this whole idea, you can bring someone to Christ, let him accept Christ. And I talked this man into say, okay, yeah, I believe, and so and so. And I said, well, if you pray now, you have Jesus Christ, help him, and you ask him to come into your heart, you'll be saved. And he did it. I'm glad there weren't too many that I followed that scheme with. Not far after that, that man was just as lost as he was before he started. So we're not trying to make you Christians. Please don't ever think we're trying to make you Christians. Because we can't make you Christian. We'll make you more of a, you know, a product of hell than anything. Might make you into some kind of self-righteous person. That's horrible. But we pray for you. We love you. We seek God for you. And what? You know what? We're going to love you right to the end. Whether he saves you or not. We're told to do that. Brethren, do what Christ says, not just listening to him. Let us pray.